Open the podcast bay door as hell.
Welcome to episode 41 of Welcome to Geek Town. I'm your host, Kurt Onstead. I've been a proud geek all my life, being into role-playing games, board games, sci-fi, fantasy, and especially superheroes and comics. And I want to help others join me in those pursuits. But I've found that sometimes people can get overwhelmed or feel left out because they don't already have what some consider the requisite knowledge to be considered a fan. And that's where Welcome to Geek Town comes in. Here, you can ask your questions without feeling like a gatekeeper is calling you out for not yet being fully versed in every aspect of your new interest. This week, our question comes from Reddit user Fear of Missing Out. Apparently, that FOMO includes TV shows, as they write, "My significant other is super into the Arrowverse. We're watching The Flash together, so I'd love a crash course on the rest of the series in the orbit. I don't have time for all of these shows." With this year's crossover being Crisis on Infinite Earths, and involving every character in the Arrowverse and even some beyond, this seems like a good time to get caught up. For the spoiler conscious, I will be discussing up to the end of last season for all of the shows involved, and I will also mention some of the characters known to be appearing in the upcoming crossover based on press releases, behind-the-scenes photos, and the like. I know next to nothing about the actual plot of the upcoming Crisis, other than the comics it is presumably based on. I've even avoided watching the first episodes of the Arrowverse shows this season until this recording is done, just to make sure I don't accidentally slip a spoiler from this season in. With that caveat in mind, off we go. The DC television universe, or Arrowverse as it's colloquially called, began with, of course, Arrow. The early seasons took quite a bit of inspiration from Smallville, which had just ended a year and a half earlier. The pilot's director was even the same as Smallville's pilot, David Nutter. Much like Clark became known as The Blur rather than Superman for most of that show, Oliver Queen was dubbed The Hood and then just The Arrow before finally claiming the nom de guerre of Green Arrow. The basic origin story of Green Arrow is kept close to his Silver Age comics in only the broadest of strokes. While on an overseas boat trip, millionaire playboy Oliver Queen is stranded on an island and has to learn to use his archery skills to survive until he is found and returns home, at which point he uses his abilities with a bow and arrow to fight crime. Once you go into the details, the TV show version changed things quite a bit. In the comics, Oliver drunkenly fell off a cruise ship, while in the show, the boat was sabotaged and apparently killed everyone on board but Oliver, his father, and one crewman. Included in the passenger list was Sarah Lance, who was the sister of Laurel Lance, Oliver's girlfriend at the time. This caused quite a bit of friction between Oliver and both Laurel and her father Quentin when he returned. Oliver's father then shot and killed the crewman and himself in order to give Oliver the best possible chance to survive. Oliver then lands on the island of Lianyu and finds it run by mercenaries who he now has to fight to survive. In the first season of the show, The Hood was a lethal vigilante seeking revenge against the corrupt businessmen and politicians of Starling City, renamed to the more comic accurate Star City in season 4. In between the Hood's adventures in present day, we flash back first to the boat accident that stranded Oliver on Lian Yu, then Oliver's trials and tribulations on the not-so-deserted island. In the present day, we also meet John Diggle, originally hired by Oliver's mom to act as Ollie's bodyguard, and Felicity Smoke, an employee of Queen Industries with incredible computer skills, who both eventually learn the Hood's identity and begin to help Oliver in his missions. John on the front lines as Spartan, with Felicity behind the scenes as an Oracle-like assistant who eventually gets the codename Overwatch, and also develops a romantic relationship with Oliver, marrying the hero in Season 6. Felicity is basically an in-name-only adaptation from the comics, while Diggle is a complete invention for the show. In Season 2, Oliver vows to no longer kill the criminals he faces, and also gets a couple of new allies. First, Roy Harper convinces Oliver to take him on as a protege. In the comics, Roy was Green Arrow's sidekick, originally named Speedy, then Arsenal, and finally Red Arrow. Then we have Sarah Lance, who apparently has returned from the dead and is now secretly acting as a vigilante herself, called the Canary. Sarah is a new character created for the Arrowverse, although her sister Laurel was the Silver Age Black Canary in the comics, a title she does eventually take on herself in the show. In the flashbacks of Season 2, we remain on Lian Yu. The flashbacks more closely mirror the main plot now, as the primary villain of the season, Slade Wilson, aka Deathstroke, is shown to be on Lian Yu in the flashbacks, and we slowly learn how Oliver and Slade became the deadly enemies they are in the present. Now, up until this point, superpowers were rare to non-existent on the show. The closest we get is the Mirakuru drug that powers Deathstroke's near superhuman strength and stamina. But that's all about to change with the introduction of Barry Allen, aka The Flash. Originally introduced without powers near the end of Arrow's second season, we do see Barry struck by lightning in his lab at the end of his guest appearance, which leads into the first season of The Flash, which aired concurrently with Season 3 of Arrow. Flash's origin mirrored his comic origins near perfectly, but added a dark matter explosion that was also responsible for many other so-called metahuman heroes and villains, including recurring characters Ramon Sisko, aka Vibe, Caitlin Snow, or Killer Frost, and Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man. Other important characters to know are Barry's foster family, Joe and Iris West, and Harrison Wells and his multiple Earth counterparts. The first Harrison Wells we meet was actually Reverse Flash in disguise, but since his defeat, multiple versions of Mr. Wells have served some sort of advisory position for Team Flash. Once Flash brought superpowers and other comic book tropes into the universe, Arrow also introduced more fantastical elements, starting with Ra's al Ghul and his Lazarus Pit in Season 3, then magicians Damien Dark and John Constantine, rescued from his canceled NBC show, in Season 4. Season 3 of Arrow also gave us Ray Palmer, a rival businessman who bought out Queen Industries and was working on his Advanced Technology Operating Mechanism exosuit, an Iron Man-like armor which he dons to become the Atom. A lab accident at the end of Season 3 causes Ray to shrink down to miniature size, an ability he's able to eventually control, making his name of the Atom more appropriate. The following year, another new hero was added to the Arrowverse. Sort of. Executive producer Greg Berlanti added Supergirl to the now-growing list of shows he was running. Like her modern comic book counterpart, Kara Zor-El was sent to Earth before Krypton exploded, just like her cousin Kal-El. However, due to sci-fi complications, she didn't arrive until decades after Kal-El did, and on this world he had been Superman for some time already. Obviously, it would be very odd to retcon that Superman had been active on a world that started as grounded as Arrow had, so for that, among other reasons, Supergirl was set on a different Earth from Flash and Arrow. However, Barry did show up in one episode of Supergirl's first season, as he is able to travel between worlds by running fast enough. Supergirl's story is an immigrant's tale. The same can be said of her co-star, Martian Manhunter. So, as you can imagine, there are a lot of real-world political allegories being brought up on this show. Sometimes it's accused by critics of being preachy, but I don't think it goes too far very often in that direction, as the themes and ideas are very fitting for Kara and her friends. In addition to traveling between universes, from the very beginning, time travel was an aspect of The Flash, as the first season's main villain was the Reverse Flash, aka Eobard Thawne, a speedster from the future who was also responsible for the childhood tragedy that had defined Barry's life, where his mother was murdered and his father was convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment for the death. Barry later travels back to this event and prevents his mother's death, creating an alternate timeline known as Flashpoint. Unfortunately, this new timeline, while leaving Barry's parents alive and well, is far worse in other ways, and Barry must go back and fix things to how they were. This takes place in Season 3 of The Flash. Barry decides to avoid time travel as much as possible going forward. The characters of the Arrowverse's fourth show, however, are not restricted in this manner. Legends of Tomorrow has Time Master, not Time Lord, that's a different show, Rip Hunter bring together a group of heroes and villains from our present time in order to stop the immortal Vandal Savage from taking over their future and killing Rip's wife and child. This team includes the Atom, Sarah Lance, now going by White Canary, Captain Cold and Heatwave, two recurring villains from The Flash, Hawkgirl and Hawkman, reincarnated heroes destined to face Vandal Savage over and over, and Firestorm, the combined form of Professor Martenstein and Jefferson Jax Jackson. Firestorm had been a recurring character in seasons 1 and 2 of The Flash, originally being an amalgam of Stein and Ronnie Raymond, Caitlin's fiancé. Ronnie sacrificed himself at the end of season 1 to save the world, and Martin was later joined with Jax in order to keep the professor alive. Legends of Tomorrow is the most fluid of all of the Arrowverse shows, as its cast and overarching plot change from season to season. As I mentioned, in season 1, the team is working with Rip Hunter to stop Vandal Savage. In Season 2, the Time Masters are now gone, and the Legends take it on themselves to guard the timeline from any anomalies that may show up, while at the same time facing the Legion of Doom, consisting primarily of Reverse Flash, Damian Dark, and Malcolm Merlyn, Arrow's first season main villain. Season 3 sees the team trying to prevent a demon named Malice from making his way to Earth and taking over. And in Season 4, the Legends are working to capture magical creatures like unicorns, minotaurs, and even fairy godmothers who were released throughout the time stream in the aftermath of their battle with Malice. Although there are serious moments as well, Legends is a show that takes things the least seriously, with many pop culture references and near fourth wall breaking moments thrown in the dialogue. Like I said, the members of the Legends team have rotated in and out quite a bit. As of the end of the last season, Sarah, Ray, and Mick, aka Heatwave, are the only originals still left, with shapeshifter Charlie, the werewolf-like Mona, Nate Haywood, aka Steel, and finally, Behrad Tarazi, wielder of an amulet with mystical powers over air and wind. Those last two require a little extra explanation. First off, Steel is not the Superman replacement discussed back in episode 15, but is the grandson of Commander Steel, a World War II era hero that was part of the Justice Society. Nate, in addition to being an expert historian, a useful thing to have in a team of time travelers, is also able to will his body to change to living metal, similar to Colossus of the X-Men. Then there is Behrad. He's a character we've only met very briefly, as the timeline was changed at the end of the final episode of Season 4, and he replaced a character named Zari, who had had a will-they-won't-they relationship with Nate. Even the Legends themselves no longer remember the previous timeline, so it's unknown if or how Zari will return. So that gives you a pretty good idea of the cast of characters going into this year's roster of Arrowverse shows. But what will they be facing this television season? Since The Flash first aired, there's been some sort of crossover between the shows every year, and each one has been more ambitious than the one before. At first, characters from one show would simply guest star on another. But in 2016, we had our first full crossover, with each show telling part of a larger story. Although the Supergirl episode was simply a cameo at the end by The Flash and Vibe. The first crossover was Invasion, named for the comic book story from 1988/89. In both the comics and the TV shows, this involved aliens known as the Dominators invading Earth and being fought off by the heroes. The following year was Crisis on Earth X, where Nazis from an alternate Earth interrupt Barry's wedding to Iris West, his longtime love and also sort of foster sister. Try not to think about that second part too much. Which is attended by the heroes of the various shows. Supergirl is captured by the villains, and the remainder of Team Super, as well as Teams Flash, Arrow, and Legends, travel to Earth-X to rescue Kara before she's used as a heart donor for her alternate Earth counterpart. Finally, last year's crossover was called Elseworlds, which, on the DC publishing side, has been the name for that company's What If comics, where the history changes in one significant way, resulting in a completely different world. In this story, the Monitor, an important figure in DC's history, gives the power to alter reality to John Deegan, known as Dr. Destiny in the comics. This results in Barry and Ollie swapping lives, with only the two of them remembering the original history. Finding themselves on the run from the law, they go to Supergirl's Earth and recruit her help. The three of them, the Legends sit this crossover out, are able to reverse things and defeat Deegan, although we find out from the Monitor that Supergirl and the Flash are destined to die in the upcoming crisis. It appears that Oliver may have come to some sort of deal with the Monitor to sacrifice himself to save his two friends, but we'll have to wait until December to see exactly how that plays out. Elseworlds also introduced one other new hero into the mix, Batwoman. Living on Earth 1 with Green Arrow and the Flash, Kate Kane is the cousin of Bruce Wayne and is taking over the family business in Gotham City, but is untrusting of the other heroes, which is why we had not met her until this point. Starting this year, Batwoman joins the roster of official Arrowverse shows. As I write this, the first episode has aired and is waiting on my DVR for me to watch, but as I noted earlier, I'm waiting until after I record to watch it to make sure I don't accidentally put in any spoilers for this season's shows. The sacrifices I make for you guys. I hope you appreciate it. There's one more show I should bring up that until this year has not been part of the Arrowverse, and that is Black Lightning. Also under Greg Berlanti's production company, Black Lightning does not take place on Flash and Arrow's Earth, nor Supergirl's. Black Lightning follows the adventures of once-retired superhero Jefferson Pierce, as he finds himself once again needing to don the costume and mask and fight crime in his hometown of Freeland, alongside his two daughters, who have each inherited some aspects of his powers. From promotional material, we know that Jefferson will be showing up in the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover this year, although it doesn't appear that his show will be actively involved. In addition to Black Lightning, other non-Arrowverse shows of the past will also be appearing, with guests including cast members from Smallville, Birds of Prey, and even Kevin Conroy from the animated series showing up as an older live-action Bruce Wayne. With 5 hours to fit all of this in, it's set to be an amazing television event. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope after this catch-up session that you are too. Now that we're caught up on Arrow and crew, what else would you like to hear about? If you have any questions about comics, board games, sci-fi, fantasy, or any other geeky subject, please send me an email at welcometogeektown, all spelled out, @gmail.com. Or ask your question anonymously, if you prefer, by clicking Submit a Question at geektown.com. Other contact options include facebook.com/welcometogeektown or Twitter at @geektownpodcast. Also, if you'd like to support the show directly, come join the Patreon at patreon.com/welcometogeektown, where for just $1 per month, you get access to full scripts of the shows, outtakes, and a monthly shoutout. You can also help the show grow by subscribing and giving a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts to join the Geektown City Council, which helps other people find the show, so we can all tell them, "Welcome to Geektown. Population, us." Welcome to Geektown is written, narrated, edited, and produced by me, Kurt Onstead. Theme music is by Aaron Levitz, logo art by Archie Santana. All other sound clips are the copyrighted material of their respective owners, and no infringement is intended, falling under fair use.